All right. I'm Danny Thomas. I'm not Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris is at a retreat with the teachers from the academy, going and getting refreshed and come back and ready to finish out the year. When he first asked me to actually do this sermon, I originally said no. Because I've never done it before. But after a lot of whining and crying, I went ahead and agreed to do it. So, no, I'm just kidding. There was no crying. this morning, we're going to be celebrating new life through the wonderful workings of Jesus Christ. And specifically, we're going to be in Acts 9, 32 through 43. In your pew Bibles, that's page 918. Before we start and the kids start falling asleep, the kids can go to children's church. Okay, so I'm going to start basically at the very beginning, starting at creation in 1:1. God created the heavens, the earth. He created the water, the land, the plants, the animals. But most importantly, he created man. And one of the things that man did, Adam and Eve, in the garden, they had responsibilities. They were responsible for the garden. They named the animals. And their main responsibility was rule over creation. And that's God's perfect plan. He gave them these responsibilities because work is a blessing. He gave them each other, which is a blessing. And then he gave them himself, which is the ultimate blessing. And that perfect plan at the beginning of creation had no end. It didn't have an ending. It was supposed to go on forever. But then we get to Genesis 3. And here's where the wheels start falling off the cart. Is that the one thing they weren't supposed to do, right? And we all know what that is. They were not supposed to eat from the tree of good and evil. And they did. Okay? So that was when sin was born. Okay? And honestly, that's when consequences, punishment was born. And some of the punishments that resulted because of that was the land would be cursed. And farmers would have to farm the land year after year after year. Women would have pain in delivery. Okay? But the main thing was death was introduced into the world, okay? So man at this time, because of that, now has a finite number of days that they can live, okay? We don't live forever. We're not part of that new plan anymore. And but everybody gets the opportunity for a second chance, right? Only Christians take advantage of that. It's unfortunate that more people don't take advantage of the actual second chance we get, but we get a second chance, and that second chance is a spiritual second chance. When we accept Christ, our lives spiritually will go on forever. We'll be in heaven with God, with Jesus. But there's also a physical element to that. After you accept Christ, you still have death. Okay, so that we have a finite number of days in that death. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to explore, what are we doing as a church? What are we doing as individuals in that second physical life? So again, because of death, that physical life has a finite number of days. If we go to Peter 1, 4 through 7, I'm supposed to have my Bible open. I forgot to go to it. Okay, so 1 Peter 4:7, okay, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And when Peter writes this, he's not saying, I think Jesus is coming back tomorrow or next month or next year, okay? What he's saying is that the requirements for Jesus to come back have been met, okay? Jesus was crucified. He died on the cross. He was buried, he was resurrected, and he ascended, okay? Those are the requirements, okay? And after that, now Jesus can come back at any time. So our second life not only has a finite number of days where we might die, Jesus could come back tomorrow or next week. So there's two possible endings to our life, death or Jesus comes back. So what are we doing in that short time frame to serve God, okay? So in this also, Peter's telling us to be mindful, Okay? And what's he mean by that? Okay? He means be purposeful with what you're doing. Okay? Be intentional with what you're doing, serving Christ. Think about it. Be mindful. Think about what you're doing. Think about how intentionally you can be, how you can feed into others. Okay? So the question is, okay, is since you know you're made of God's image, designed for eternity, okay, but separated by sin, what will we do with the time we have left in the new creation that we now have? Okay? Personally, I think we're all excited as Christians in here that we have a promise of spiritual life, perfect union with Christ in love, in unity, in peace with our Father. Okay? So this morning, specifically, we're going to be in Acts, hearing about what Luke talks about Peter's early ministry. Okay? So let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you to come here today and to be with us, Lord. And mainly, I ask you to speak through me to give the message that you want everybody to hear. And Lord, we pray for Chris and all the teachers, and we pray that they're getting refreshed and that they'll have safe travels home and come back and be ready to go tomorrow morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, like I said, we're going to be in Acts 9, 32 through 43. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. Okay. So now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came also to the saints who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there in Joppa, a disciple by the name of Tabitha, which translates to mean Dorcas, she was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And they washed her body, and they laid her in the upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come with us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and kneeled down and prayed and turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it came to be known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Okay. So, as we can see in the very first part of 32, Peter's traveling throughout the land. He's traveling throughout Lydda, Sharon, and these are all along the coast of Judah. And he's traveling a lot. He's actually ministering. He's trying to build disciples, okay? One of the ways he's doing that is he's healing people. But that's not the only thing he's doing to bring disciples. He's ministering to them. He's living with them. He's in their community. So we know that. Whoop, I lost my place. And he's serving God both in word and deed. Okay. So what are we known for as a church? Okay, as individuals. Okay. Do we know somebody who follows God's commandment to make disciples all the time? Okay. In Matthew 28:19-20, it says, where's my thing? It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe in all that I have command you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what he's saying there, when he says go, okay, specifically he says go therefore. He doesn't mean go on a mission trip to Africa. Don't go on a mission trip to Guatemala, okay? Those are good things, and we should be doing those things. But that's not what he's saying here. In the Greek, go means as you go, meaning this should be something we're doing every single day of our lives, okay? This is something that should be in our mind, okay? And to be honest, I see a lot of people out there that I know are like that, that every day they're thinking about God. Every day when they talk to people, that is in their minds, okay? One of them, of course, is my wife. Everybody knows Rose, knows that she's always thinking about that, okay? And it's really a blessing to all of us, okay? And she's when she's working with students at the school, okay, she's thinking about that. She's not afraid of what might happen, okay? She's ministering to these students. She's discipling them. The other person kind of in my family is my son-in-law, Rob, okay? And Rob, you know, when we first met him way, way, way back, he was from Tampa, and him and my daughter were at Southern Seminary, and we went on vacation down to Orlando, okay? And I don't know if you guys remember this, but we went to a mall right next to where we were staying, and we walk out, and Rob reaches in his pocket of his coat, and he pulls out, like, a couple small Bibles, and he's like, I got to give these Bibles to somebody, and he spins around, and he runs back in the mall, and Rose is right behind him. And me and my daughter are like, where are they going? You know? And so we follow him in there, and he's in there talking to two people that he just ran into, and he's ministering to them. He's telling them about Jesus, just out of the blue, just like that. Okay? And I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to him. Okay? And later on that day, the reason I think it's the Holy Spirit is because later on that day, we went to a restaurant, and walk in, who walks in? Those two people he was talking to. Okay, and they sit down next to us, and Rob continues to talk to him. And it's not just that story. Rob, in his work, in his business, okay, there's not a person that knows Rob that doesn't know he's a Christian. Not one. Okay, he's ministering to the people that come in and sit down. I mean, he's got a captive audience for 30 or 40 minutes. He's a barber, okay, and he's ministering to them. He ministers to all his barbers, his employees. He takes them to Bible studies. He does all kinds of things. And that's really what we should be doing. Everybody, we should be doing that. I'm not that great at it, but I need to get better at it. Okay. The other thing is, as Christians, we all have circles of influence, or we should have circles of influence. We used to have a pastor, when we went to church up and coming, that always talked about circles of influences. And what he meant by that is we all have this great big circle of influence. We know people that we go to school with or we work with, or they know us. And hopefully they know we're Christians because of the way we act, the way we don't act, the things we say, the things we don't say. They should know that. Then you have a smaller circle of influence. And that might be your Sunday school class, okay? 15, 20 people. And they know you're a Christian. You're engaging in communication with them weekly and maybe even during the week. But then there's this small circle of influence. Each one of us as Christians should have one or two people that we're intentionally feeding into. We're intentionally teaching them about Jesus. We're intentionally teaching them how to minister, how to build more disciples. And so as we go through life, those should be things that we should be doing just naturally. It should be no different than checking the time every 20 minutes because you want to know what time it is. Okay? The other thing is how do you minister to people, okay? It's not something that comes naturally to some people. It comes naturally to Rob and Rose, and I know a lot of people out there that it comes naturally to. For me and my daughter, it's not a natural thing for us to do that. So I know I've been through classes on ministering. We did one here several months ago downstairs in the fellowship hall on how to minister to people. You can take classes. It's maybe in Sunday school classes you're learning how to do that. But I encourage you to at least try to learn how to minister to people so that when you go out and do that, and you should be doing that, that you don't feel intimidated or scared because you think, well, that person's going to know more than I do. You know. The other thing you can do is there's a great book out there called With Christ in the School of Disciple Building by Carl Wilson. It teaches you a lot of those skills. Okay, but the most effective thing you can do is get into a Bible study, get into a Sunday school class, learn more about Jesus, learn about what he did, and mimic those and do those. Okay, moving on, one of the most gratifying things I do for myself and that I kind of relish in is I like to serve people. And I don't look at that as, well, you know, I'm lower than them, and I just need to serve them. I've always kind of been like that. Even when I was in the business world, one of the things I always kind of wanted to do, and I never got the opportunity to do it, was to be what's called a chief of staff in a large company. And that means you've kind of take responsibility off the presidents and vice presidents and things like that, and you serve them, you help them. You help them with problems, take things off their plates. I do that here. I try to do that here. You know, I try to spend time at the church fixing things. I try to spend time at school, at the school, doing different things, teaching the teachers and the new employees that start working there on different things they need to do. But I just get gratification out of that, and I think everybody does. But one of the things I don't do is if somebody needs help, I don't think about, well, what's their worth to me? You know, I mean, if I help them, what am I going to get out of it? You know, or what is the church? You know, if I help a new member of the church, you know, are they going to come more? Are they going to do something for the church because I'm helping them? That's not something that I look at, or none of us should be looking at. We should be asking for nothing. Peter's traveling through this area, and he's asking for nothing. If you remember, when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, he told them, take nothing. Do not take tunics. Don't take anything. And the reason he wanted them to take anything was because he wanted them 100% dependent on God to take care of them. So as they're traveling, there's actually two blessings going on. They're blessing the people that they're ministering to, but they're also getting blessed by God by giving them provisions, places to stay, and things like that. And we need to depend that God's going to take care of us when we do that. Okay. So Peter, you know, as he's traveling, he's not looking at worth. He's not looking at poor people, middle class people, different race, social classes, things like that. He's just helping everybody that needs help. He knows that everybody needs Christ. Okay, and we shouldn't be looking at worth either. Luke gives us two examples of this in these chapters. Okay, first one is Aeneas. Okay. This is a man that's been crippled for 8 years, okay? It doesn't go into detail about him, but I can imagine he's probably sitting at the gates of the city, maybe begging for money, begging for help, okay? He would like to get healed, okay? And then he talks about Tabitha. Tabitha lives in Joppa, okay? And she's described as a woman of good works and charity, but more importantly, she's described as a disciple. Okay, so she's very well known in the area, very well liked, okay? And so the disciples send for Peter to come heal her. And he does, okay? So he's not looking at worth of who he's trying to heal. He's just out healing people, and he's doing that to show Jesus' power and hopefully that they'll come to Christ, okay? And when he does, when he heals both Aeneas and Tabitha, okay, they both needed Christ. They both experienced Jesus the same way. They were both healed, okay, and they were both grateful for their wonderful lives, their new lives, okay. And Peter gives glory to God when he does this, okay, because it's important when he's healing them that people don't see that it's Peter, okay. Peter's not sitting back and going, I am so awesome. Did you see me heal that guy? You know, he's not doing that. He's giving glory to God in each occasion, okay? and we need to be doing the same thing. We shouldn't be looking at worth, okay? So about a year ago or so, okay, Pastor Chris and his family moved here from Missouri. Moved here from Missouri. And they needed help moving, okay? We put out the call to the congregation, and we had a lot of people come and help them. Okay, and I always say, you know who your real friends are when you move. And so we had a bunch of people. And then Pastor Blaine, our youth pastor, moved, and we put out the call, and we had a lot of people. Okay, and we care about them, and the proof of that caring about them is they both moved twice, and we moved them both twice. So that's four moves. They need to stop moving. But you know, we didn't look at their worth, okay? They're worth something to us, okay? But then again, on campus here, every single day, Monday through Friday, we have over 200 children on this campus, from babies all the way up to 12th grade. And I'm not talking about just the academy, okay? Corners Outreach, Hispanic organization, meets on our campus, and every day they have over 100 children here and their families, okay? And I know some of us help over there, okay? But we need to look at them as a mission field, okay? Their worth should be no different to us than Chris and Blaine, okay? We should all be helping out. All right. And then if I look at Chris and Blaine and the people that we had and we got to help us help him move, okay? And then I look at on Saturday mornings, okay, we used to get up early in the morning, okay, and the women would make breakfast burritos and things like that. We'd load up the bus, and we'd all go down to Home Depot and the Chevron and minister to the Hispanic community. We'd hand out Bibles, talk to them about Jesus, okay, and we'd minister to the homeless and people like that. We had quite a big crowd that did that, okay, and the reason I say that is because their worth to us is just as important as the worth to members of our congregation, okay? And we should always be thinking about that. Don't think about what their worth is to us, okay? Just help people, okay? That's what we should be doing. We should be ministering to the mission field that we have right here and in our community and helping people come to Christ. All right, so now that we've kind of talked about that and helping people, okay, how do we know who to help and what's calling us to help, okay? So we read in Acts that when Tabitha died, they washed her body and put it in the upper room. Remember that back in these days, okay, they didn't have embalming fluid. They didn't have refrigeration to hold on to bodies until the family decided what to do with the body, okay? What they did was they would put myrrh and aloe and different fragrances on a cloth, and they'd wrap the body in cloth, and they'd bury him pretty quickly, okay, or put him in a tomb very quickly, okay. So why was her burial different than everybody else that passed away, okay? I think it's because the Holy Spirit was leading the disciples to do something different with them, with Tabitha. I think it was for a purpose, okay. So when she dies, they make a decision out of the norm to not bury her, okay? And they also make a decision to go find a healer. They'd heard about Peter. They knew Peter was healing people, okay? So they, out of the norm, they thought, you know, we're going to try to get her healed. So they sent for Peter. Peter is on a mission. He's like, I think it's like 11 miles away from where they are. So that's a day walk, okay? 2 days for some of us older people. And he drops everything, which is kind of out of the norm, and he goes with them, okay? And he heals there. So I think the difference there is I think the Holy Spirit is leading them to do things that's out of the norm. That's not quite the things that they always do, okay? A personal story about the Holy Spirit is, years ago, when we lived in Birmingham, we were on our way to Mobile to see Rose's sister that lives down in Mobile. And I'm like probably most men in here, is I hate being a passenger in a car. You know, I want to be the one with my foot on the brake. So we're driving, and I get really tired, so tired to the point where I'm willing to let Rose drive. Okay, and I'm not saying she's a bad driver. I'm just saying I don't like being a passenger in anybody's car. So we're driving. We trade spaces, and she's driving, and I fall asleep. A little while later, I wake up, and we're on I-65. Okay, and on I-65, it's kind of like 400. People are doing 75, 80, 90 miles an hour. Okay, and I look over, and there's cars passing us all over the place. And I look, and we're doing like 45 miles an hour. And I'm like, are you trying to get us killed, okay? And she goes, I don't know why, but I just feel I'm being told to slow down. And I'm like, come on, you gotta speed up. She's like, no, I just feel like I should be slow. So I'm like, all right, she's in the right-hand lane, she's not in the left-hand lane messing people up, so I'm like, okay. About 3 or 4 minutes later, she speeds up. Now we're doing like 65, okay? And literally like 3 or 4 miles up the road, there's this huge accident. Okay, cars all over the place, ambulances, all kind of stuff. And I truly believe the Holy Spirit was telling her to slow down. And that saved us, because we could have been in that accident. I have no doubt about that. Okay. So when, back to the sermon, when Peter heals Ananias, he tells him, Jesus Christ heals you, okay? He's not saying, I, Peter, heal you, okay? Nobody's going to come to Christ because Peter's healing people, okay? And what I like about it is it's not just that he healed him and then said, Jesus Christ healed you. He's kind of calling the ball, right? Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus Christ is going to heal you. And then he's healed, okay? So you have no choice but to know that was Jesus, okay? It's not Peter. Because back in these times, there were healers out there. There were magicians out there. All these people, you know, they would charge you for healing, and they take all the credit, even though nobody got healed, at least not where I can find in the Bible anywhere. So Peter is out healing people by Jesus Christ, and he's making sure they know that, okay? And even when he goes and heals Tabitha, he doesn't specifically say, Jesus Christ heals you, or Jesus Christ will heal you, okay? But we know that it's Jesus because in the passage we read, the disciples knew about Peter, okay? And they knew that he was healing through Jesus Christ. So when Tabitha was healed, they knew where that came from, okay? So as we go through our missions, as we're getting disciples, the more we can say this is because of Jesus, okay? That's the key, okay? And, you know, power can be demonstrated through anybody. Jesus Christ can just demonstrate his power through anybody, okay? Now, we're obviously now out healing people, but I know a lot of you guys in the church, and I know your prayers, right? Prayers. And when we pray for somebody and that problem is taken care of or that situation doesn't happen that we prayed for, okay, we need to follow up with, you know, Jesus did that. That is because we prayed, okay? Not just because it happened. We prayed about it, and it happened, okay? And with Rose in our house, that happens a lot. So in my classes that I teach, in my safety and security classes, I always talk about intuition, okay? Intuition is right almost all the time, okay? You know, 85% of all statistics are made up. But, you know, it's a very high percentage of when your intuition is protecting you or telling you you're in a dangerous situation, you need to get out of here, okay? For Christians, I do think that's the Holy Spirit. I think that's the Holy Spirit saving us, telling us things wrong. For non-Christians, it might be the Holy Spirit working on them. I don't know, okay? Or maybe it's just voices in their head. But for us, I do believe it's the Holy Spirit, okay? So I'm going to start wrapping things up here because I'm getting a little short of time. And I wanted to give Everett more time for your Sunday school class. So as parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, okay, we always hope for the best thing for our kids, for our children in our lives, right? I mean, we hope for a good sport, that they're good in sports. We hope they're good in school. They get into prestigious college. They get a really great job that we can brag to our other friends about, hey, my kid does this. It's so cool. So do we pray for those, for them, okay? Do we pray that they have the Holy Spirit? Are we ministering to those young people, okay, to help go out and build disciples? I know I pray for my grandkids almost every day, okay? And I pray that they have good lives. I pray that they become compassionate. They become disciples. They want to build more disciples. And I have the same prayer for their future spouses. I want them to be bringing up right now, no matter where they are, in a good home, being told about Jesus, okay? And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be telling everybody about Jesus, okay? So to kind of wrap up here, what are you doing with the few precious years that you have left on earth in your physical life, okay? Are you intentional, okay? Are you ministering to people? Are you helping people? Are we serving others? Are we building disciples? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Okay. And are we following Jesus' command to go make disciples? Okay. Remember, we're not following Jesus' command to go make disciples, okay, to be saved. We should be doing it because we are saved. We should be showing fruit in our life, okay, of people that we are telling about Jesus. Remember, it's not our job to convert people, to bring them to Christ. It's our job to let them know, to let them understand who Jesus is. Jesus is the one that will convert them to Christianity, to bring them to himself. Okay? So I encourage you to listen to the voices in your head, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay? And when he asks you to do something, just step out there and do it. Okay? It might be a little scary. Okay? It might be a little uncomfortable. Okay? But be brave. You know, bravery is doing something that scares you, but you do it anyway. Okay? And, you know, that message goes for me too. I'm not super great at it, but I need to be, okay? So I'm going to leave you with one thought here, and I don't want to leave everybody on a down note, okay? But I think it's important to know what the Bible says, okay? And so these are sobering verses from Matthew, okay? In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, okay? Matthew says, not everyone who said to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Let's not be workers of lawlessness, okay? Let's be disciple builders, and let's take advantage of the pool of non-Christians we have on this campus and in our community and start building disciples. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and pray. And Chip, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today, Lord. Again, we just ask you to protect the teachers and Chris on the way back. Lord, and I just pray for everybody in this room that they'll have a safe day, a safe week, and that you'll just give all of us the courage that we need to go out and talk to people and minister to them and help build disciples, which will continue to build more disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.